You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Final hour on this Wednesday, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. We'll get to your phone calls coming up. Spent a lot of time talking about how Game 2 last night in Phoenix came to an end. I don't know what the Clippers were expecting, but I don't think they were expecting an alley-oop. Because if you look at how that defense was set up, I think the Clippers thought Devin Booker was going to get the shot. But give credit to Booker, you know, playing with what looked like a broken nose. He had a set a screen and allowed DeAndre Ayton to release, get to the rim, and Jay Crowder threw a perfect lob pass. The Valley Oop is what they're calling it. We say good morning to our radio and TV partners, Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, Peacock's our streaming service. Download the app and you can watch for free. Our Twitter handle at DP Show, phone number 877-3DP-SHOW. Tonight, Hawks, Bucks, Game 1. The Pistons win the NBA draft lottery. Spent a little bit of time talking about pitchers being investigated, basically doing a strip search. It's almost like TSA at the airport for pitchers where you walk through. I always feel like I accomplish something when I make it through TSA. Like I do hold my breath. I have nothing to hide, but I do feel like I accomplished something. Like, yes, I made it through TSA. Yeah, Paulie.
And then do you look back at someone in your party and it beeps? And you're like, come on. You're holding this all up. It takes 2 seconds.
Yeah. All right. Poll question, McLovin. What are we going to go with here?
Okay. We put this up. Would you rather have they continue reviews and slow down the end of the games or have no reviews and risk getting calls wrong? 52% want to keep reviews.
Okay. Here's something for you. How long do you think the last 90 seconds of game two took? So a minute and a half on the clock. How long did it take to play 90 seconds of basketball? Paulie?
17 minutes.
17 minutes. Todd?
21 minutes.
McLovin?
13 minutes.
Seton O'Connor?
95 seconds. No, that's just kidding. 20 minutes.
Can you be serious for a change?
Probably not. Okay. Probably not. No.
33 minutes. 33 minutes to play 90 seconds of basketball.
That's unacceptable. Day, stat of the day,
thanks, Tom. Day, stat of the day.
But if it's unacceptable, you would have turned it off. You know what I mean? Like Todd came in today fired up about it, like a lot of people do. I'm not saying pointing out Todd, but everyone said it's awful. It stinks.
But you still have to watch because you want to see the completion of the game.
The tighter the game, the longer it takes, the more people stay.
But they have us. I have no other choice except for I'll read about it in the morning. There were as many reviews as field goals in the last 90 seconds. 5. Now, did it pay off? Yes, it was an unbelievable finish there. And now the series shifts to Los Angeles. I don't know if Kawhi Leonard is going to play. If I'm the Phoenix Suns, I prepare for Kawhi Leonard to maybe come back in games 6 and 7, if there is a game 6 or game 7. But in the moment, you have to look at game 3 as we have to win this game. Because if you win game 3, you're winning this series. But if you lose and he comes back, here we go again with the Clippers down 0-2. And Chris Paul is not cleared yet. Do I think Chris Paul plays in game 3? I would say more than likely. It's back in Los Angeles. Chris has been quarantining there. But I don't want to run the risk of Kawhi Leonard coming back and being Kawhi Leonard in a big moment. Win game 3. Make sure that you don't go, hey, we've already got 2 games. If we come out of here with a split, like you have to go in going, we have to win game 3. Because if Kawhi comes back in game 5, maybe even game 6, if you get there, then this is a different series. But, you know, it feels like Phoenix is the best team in the playoffs right now. But imagine if it was the Hawks and the Suns for the NBA championship. Now, I don't sit here and go, oh, that's going to be terrible for ratings. Like, I don't watch a game going, I wonder what the rating is on this. I couldn't care less. If you watch it, great. If you don't, okay. Now, do I factor in sometimes what we cover based off what you're watching? Yes. But as a sports fan, I've never gone, you know, I watch Sacramento King games, for God's sakes. I'm not worried about who's watching that. But you get caught up in, oh, what's this going to mean? You know, smaller markets don't have marquee. Okay. Like, is this an aberration, anomaly? Is this going to be something that, hey, these teams are going to be back here? Like, all right, enjoy it. Yeah, McLovin.
But could you argue the quality of play is down? Because there's so many back, you know, we saw a campaign from the G League. You know, you're not getting the elite players in this Final Four.
All I care is competitive series. That's it.
Even if it's not the best
yes.
guys? I mean, guys are shooting like, you're seeing like 3 for 20s all over
okay,
the place.
But when did you go, when the Kansas City Royals won the World Series, that did you go, nah, you know what? We're not really seeing a high standard of baseball here.
Yeah, because we weren't really seeing it because we weren't really
you
watching,
weren't watching it. Okay. Do you have the preseason odds, Paulie, to win the championship? And where do these teams rank?
Lakers were the favorite. You could have got them at plus 275. The Milwaukee Bucks, Nets, Clippers. Clippers were fourth. The Atlanta Hawks were right in the middle at 10,000 to 1. You could have got them at 10,000 to 1 to win the NBA title. Let's see. The Suns? The Suns jumped up a lot. They were 4,000 to 1 because of what happened in the bubble. Their odds went way up.
It's been a strange postseason and easy to lose track of just how odd the Atlanta Hawks' presence in the Eastern Conference has really been. They were 14-20 when they fired Lloyd Pierce and named Nate McMillan as the head coach. They've gone 35-15. To get to this round, they had to win 3 games on the road against the 76ers. Trae Young, 5 of 23 in game 7. They still won. But even the most optimistic Hawks fan had to admit they couldn't see the Hawks getting this far. This is a team that has been to one other conference final in 50 years. They've had good teams. Remember 2014? They won 60 games with Al Horford and Paul Millsap. They were competitive during the Dominique Wilkins era, but they kept running into the Boston Celtics. But this is a big step for a young franchise, young team, not a young franchise, but a young team there going against the favored Milwaukee Bucks. I just sit back and enjoy this stuff. I don't go, you know, should Kevin Huerter be playing in a Eastern Conference Finals or who's John Collins? I just want to see a competitive series. Yeah, McLovin.
That 2014 Hawks team, that is the, remember we had the Hall of Good? That is like the ultimate team with Millsap, yeah. Al Horford,
yeah.
Schroeder was on that team, I think. Damari Carroll.
Yeah. That was
Showtime.
Not exactly murderer's lineup there. Murderer's row. DeAndre Ayton talked about the game-winning alley-oop after the game.
Once I set that first screen for Cam, I tried to set up Zubac to, you know, for Book to have a good angle on him. And I believe once my feet touch the paint where I can go off right, left, 1-2, not many people are going to be up there with me. So that's where I got confident at. Once I really got that gather, nobody bumped me or, you know, it was up. And, you know, that was it.
He's got a lot of personality. And he has grown. When you watch a player and you actually see him improve, you see that with DeAndre Ayton. And he doesn't have the shadow on him or the spotlight on him that Trae Young does, because we tend to look at Luka Doncic and Trae Young as the marquee players who came out of that draft a couple of years ago. DeAndre Ayton was number one overall pick. And he's not a bust. He's not great, at least not great yet, but he's very good. And he held his own against the Joker. Like, he's played big. And you know, that's all you're asking for. With somebody that young, do you show up? And he has so far in the postseason this year. Let's get some phone calls here. We did talk about the pitchers. Could we come up with, you know, I mentioned TSA. It's the TSA for pitchers. Could you come up with a dog that you could just bring the dog out? Or bring the pitcher over and let the dog sniff you. You know, like a foreign substance sniffing dog there.
Imagine if you had that in the 70s.
Ooh. Yikes.
Different substance.
Yeah. In all sports.
Those old St. Louis Cardinal teams, remember?
Yeah, oh, yeah. 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 The entire NBA back in the 70s.
So you're saying having a nice little good boy out there right by the baseline, just smelling the pitcher.
Yeah.
Everyone loves the dogs.
Yeah. Yeah. You get a cute dog, like Westminster dog show and a baseball game.
And then when someone's got the spider tech, he just attacks the arm. Max Scherzer's on the ground.
He grabs his glove. Yes, Don.
And if he finds one, you give him doggy cheats instead of doggy treats.
Mm.
little snack.
I'm going to let it go. I'm going to let it go. I'm not giving you mock headlines today.
You're not. Nothing in there that floats your boat.
You've had a pretty good day. The limerick you had earlier was good.
So I'm pushing my luck.
Do you want to roll the dice?
I think I'm going to roll the dice.
Of course you are. Of course you are. Any airtime is better than no airtime for you.
If you don't think they're good, I can deal with
that. Here we go. Mock headline, Suns over the Clippers. And here is Todd Fritz.
Ayton's enough.
Do not repeat. Just move on.
Curious about George. Hey, Crowder. Instead of Jay Crowder, I went with Hey Crowder.
Do not repeat.
I was just trying to explain.
If you have to explain.
All right, fair enough. Pain don't hurt. Cameron says otherwise.
Mm-hmm. Little Roadhouse. Yeah.
The full Monty. Complete game plan for Coach Williams. Mm-hmm. Alley oops. Clippers not prepared for that.
Mm-hmm. You could have gone Valley oops, but.
Valley oops would have been good.
All right.
Patrick experiencing Beverly Hills and Valleys.
That's not good.
Tyron who? Coach on hot seat.
No, he's not.
Why not? But it fits my mock headline.
I know.
And my last one was losing like that. It's like kissing your cousins.
All right. Yes, Paulie.
You ever see those videos on YouTube where like a 5,000 meter runner is winning and is celebrating down the thing, like the backstretch, and then loses to a guy at the end? And it was Fritzy. He was having a really good day on air.
Well, you trip or you're looking back, and because you look back, you kind of stumbled a little.
We reached out to Major League Baseball. I was curious if baseball should have capped this, the number of times that you can investigate a pitcher. And you can only do it twice. That's it. If the umpire wants to do it again, then the umpire can. A manager will be subject to discipline if he makes the request in bad faith. Now, I don't know if Joe Girardi made the third call to investigate Max Scherzer in bad faith. If a manager makes a request for inspection, the umpire will determine whether and when to inspect the pitcher, taking into account when the pitcher was last inspected and whether the request was made in good faith. If they determine the request was made in bad faith, then you eject the manager. Why didn't we wait till the start of next season? All right. Yes, Seton.
I love how indignant Max Scherzer is over being questioned about this.
Oh, I know.
I mean, dude is named in a lawsuit about this very problem, about using these very substances, and he's going to have the nerve to be like, what, me? You're going to question me multiple times? Me?
I'm a Hall of Famer.
I'm taking my pants off. Like, dude, get a grip.
How about before June 21st and since June 21st, batting averages? Before June 21st, batting averages 239. Since the crackdown, or at least the memo was sent out that they were going to crack down, batting averages have dropped. They're down to 223. Baseball wanted to get some batting averages back up there, and this hasn't helped right now. But you're going to investigate a pitcher, and they know you're going to investigate them. You know, we used to do this. Remember there, if you were in a dorm, there was an RA. And the RA would sometimes, you know, check your room for beer or whatever else, contraband. So imagine if they said, hey, an hour before the RA came by your dorm room, somebody said, hey, the RA's coming by. So you clear out the beer and the weed. And then the RA comes in and you're like, what are you checking here for? Go ahead, check all over the place. I don't have anything. But that's what pitchers are acting like. Oh, you're checking me? I don't have anything. What did you have last week? That's what I want to know. And for Max Scherzer to be so upset, somebody should have asked Max Scherzer, Max, what did you use before this? Just so we understand it. Take us through the process here. You say it's tougher this week. Hey, I nearly threw a fastball and hit one of the Phillies in the head. Okay, well, what did you use before this where you didn't hit somebody? And the commissioner can't win in this situation. Because if he lets it slide, then we go, here he goes again. Not going to punish, just like the Astros. But I don't know. Are you really bothered by this, that the umpires are inspecting pitchers? And it's during the commercial breaks. Like, it didn't ruin my night where I went, oh, my God, they're investigating Max Scherzer a third time. Hon, will you look at what they're doing to Max Scherzer? Why, Dan, you're so upset. Yes! We need to clean up this sport. Yes, Tom.
A manager challenging in bad faith, that's very subjective by the umpires, because they may see something, and how much do you have to explain to the umps, like, that, hey, I really saw him, no, I'm not trying to just mess up his rhythm, I saw him touch something or do something behind his ear, and it's, I just think it's a very subjective call to start ejecting a manager who thinks they saw the guy cheating.
Thank you, Todd.
You're welcome.
We'll take a break. Of course.
He was cooking the first 2 hours.
You know, times when I look at Todd and I don't hear him say anything, I just see his mouth moving and then it stops and I just say, thank you, Todd.
But you should be able to see the thought bubbles somehow before I say it. And you're like, nah, I'm not.
No, usually I can. I can see the thought bubbles.
But you still, you'll still.
And my thought is, don't call on you. All right, we're going to take a break here.
Sometimes you got to go with your instinct.
Thank you, Todd. Come back after this in the Dan Patrick Show. M-Drive Boost and Burn. I mean, this is really what keeps me going during the show. When I have to put up with Todd, I just go, I'm on M-Drive Boost and Burn. Like, I'm ready to go. I'm energetic. I can plow through this. That's packed with clinically tested ingredients. Helps build lean muscle. Paulie even gave me a compliment today. You know.
Yeah, I think that you get a little swole today. Yesterday, you get the shoulders looking good.
Yeah, you know, I'm just trying to be a little more conscious of my appearance here on the show. Look a little bit better. Look a little more athletic. Ready to go. It's summer. I mean, you know how I like to take off my shirt when I'm around here?
Almost always.
Yes. M-Drive Boost and Burn. You can get free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee, nothing to lose except for some LBs. And you can find M-Drive Boost and Burn at Walgreens, Rite Aid, and Vitamin Shop. Tough to keep off the weight as you get older. Fight back with M-Drive Boost and Burn. Get ready for everything summer is bringing. Go to mdrivedan.com. Don't let age beat you. Refind your prime with M-Drive. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. Nothing like playoff hockey. Peacock has live coverage, Stanley Cup semis, and the final. Don't miss out. Stream every game. Go to PeacockTV.com. Sign up now. Get some new t-shirts in here. Go to danpatrick.com. We have one. It's a tribute to Crosley Field. That was the first ballpark I went to growing up with the Cincinnati Reds before they went to Riverfront Stadium. And then we have a t-shirt that here's the backstory. Seton had some pizza and he ordered a small pizza and then the show's over and Todd walks by and he's got those meaty, sweaty hands,
okay.
And he grabs a slice of pizza.
Innocently enough, I was not looking to steal someone's lunch. It should be prefaced at least that much.
It was at Seton's desk. We have a communal area here.
Do you guys really think I would just touch someone's lunch thinking that it's their lunch?
That's exactly what you did.
You did.
I was under some other impression, which was, but I'll let you tell the story.
Yeah, so it's a small pizza, and Fritzy walks by, grabs a slice, and says, that's what I'm talking about. And then Seton goes, go ahead, eat my lunch.
He said a little harsher than that.
Well, yeah, he was upset because
scared some of the other employees into thinking maybe this isn't the best place for me to work.
Did you do something wrong, Todd?
I did.
Okay.
But it was an innocent mistake. It wasn't like, oh, I'm going to just take a piece of Seton's lunch. I don't think Seton even thought that. Hopefully he didn't.
I think it was more probably like a little bit of built up. Like Todd sometimes isn't very aware. And I think that was sort of one too many times where his lack of awareness just really rubbed me the wrong way. And yeah, I said, no, that's okay, Todd. Go ahead and eat my lunch.
And of course, you repaid him. You went out and got him a pizza, didn't you, Todd?
I did not.
No,
do that.
Of course you did.
I thought we were having some kind of pizza party, and that was just his portion of what he
That's
brought
what
to
I'm
his
talking
chef.
About.
That's what I'm talking about.
So we have a t-shirt that pays tribute to Todd.
I did feel really bad about that. I got no pleasure out of grabbing a piece of it. There wasn't that many slices there. That's why I thought it was just his portion of what he took from one of the boxes from a pizza party.
You know what's called a personal pizza? Because it's for that person. it was a small personal pizza.
By the way, Todd's making it sound like there was five other pizza boxes laying around.
Yeah,
there was one.
It's just one.
I was under the assumption there must be other pizza in the back room or something. And
yes.
They just didn't Didn't tell me there was a pizza party, but hey, I'll take a piece of that.
And you felt so bad that you didn't get seated in a pizza, right?
But I didn't put my hands all over his pizza. I pulled like one slice. Maybe I was holding with my thumb down on the slice next to that one just so I didn't rip up the whole pizza. So maybe there were two slices involved.
All right. Thank you, Todd. Let me get some phone calls in here. I keep saying I'm going to get phone calls in here. I get distracted.
I keep telling you not to do this.
Spencer in Iowa. Spence, thanks for holding on. What is on your mind today?
What's up? First time, long time. 61210. There we go. Well, yeah, I was really hyped up a little while ago. Now I've been on the phone with a hold for a while, but I was kind of bumming out about that game last night. You're talking about the five replays. The game didn't get finished till after 11:15 or something around here. I'm in the Midwest, but it just kind of ruined the flow of the game and just took way longer. And it's with every other sport too. Even football, they do the replay, and now it's it slows the game down even more. But I just it was just way too many replays. I felt like
if you don't like it, I guess turn it off. But it took 33 minutes of real time to play 90 seconds of basketball. It's an interminable amount of time here. And it breaks up the flow. That's all. Like, I don't care how long a game goes. If it's interesting, then you'll watch. I just don't like when it's broken up. I went to the Michigan-Ohio State game a couple of years ago in Columbus. Ohio State just scored again. And and I'm watching the game in the stadium, but the commercial breaks take forever. Because when you're watching at home, you can go do something. When you're there in the stands, it's like, and they have the commercial clock over here, and you go, oh my God, we got 5 minutes before they come back. And it took forever. Whereas when you watch at home, at least you can flip around, do something else. Go get a beer. I mean, you can do that at a game, but it took away the flow of the game. Yeah, Paulie.
I don't think the NFL suffers from this problem. They keep the game moving. They've shortened the play clock. The halftime, I think, is 12 minutes in the NFL. You can't even go out like get a sandwich, right? College football is way longer. The NFL doesn't really suffer this dragging along problem.
Jesse in Los Angeles. Hey, Jess. Sorry to keep you holding. Welcome back to the program.
Hey, DP, no problem. I was calling to let you guys know yesterday's show was incredible. Those three guests were so good. And Rex and Jimmy are always some of the best guests you guys have.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, thank you.
That was great. I'm calling about pitcher checks and college athletics. And with baseball first, as you said, it's just like the TSA. And if you've ever been in the regular security line and some guy's getting fired up when the buzzer keeps going off and they keep taking like a watch or a belt or like a bottle of water out of his bag and he's just blowing a gasket, that's hilarious and I'm all for it. But with college athletics, I'm with Billis. As he said yesterday, if anyone thinks there's going to be like recruiting violations because certain states have this right first, there's no way. This is a competition. So if I'm a highly recruited athlete and I'm choosing between a school in California and Texas and they're looking for money or benefits, boosters are filthy rich. And if their athlete over their proxy says, hey, I can make this much here legally, or you want me bad enough, here's what it's going to cost you. These programs are just going to find more creative ways to create level of playing field. And that leads me to my question for you. What's the most egregious violation you have seen in your time, like the Lester Hayes Stickum version of recruiting violations?
Thank you, Jess.
Oh, God. By the way, wasn't Stickum legal when Lester Hayes used it? So I don't know if that's the best analogy.
Yeah. Yeah. He just slathered it on.
They made it illegal eventually.
Yeah. What happened at SMU, Eric Dickerson, the entire football program, I mean, they were blatant. It wasn't like they were hiding it. So that would be up there. Yeah, Paul.
If you watch that SMU football documentary, they were giving cash to players and they were mailing it to them in envelopes that had the SMU athletic department on the return address. They weren't even trying to be secretive. It'd be like to a player and they sent it to his apartment or his house and they had the return address on the thing of money or the checks.
Well, go back to the story that I broke earlier this year about Tennessee football with recruits and they were putting money in McDonald's bags. Eventually those things are going to get out. And I remember back in college, people talked about Kentucky players when I was at school at Eastern Kentucky that they would get $100 handshakes. All right. So some booster shook your hand and it's Kevin Greavy. All right. There's no paper trail there. You know, there were always stories that came out. I remember playing against somebody, and he went to a major university and came back with that two-seater Mercedes, like a 450. What is that? SEL or something like that, SL. And he came back with that, and we were like, whoa, did you see what he's driving? And he just smiled. He didn't say how he got it, but he got it. Let's see, a couple more phone calls here. Let's see, Brian in Florida. Hey, Brian, what's on your mind today?
Hey, you were asking earlier, like, why now about the pitching? Well, I can point to the exact moment, April 26th, the Cardinals were playing the White Sox. Giovanni Gallegos came in. For some reason, Joe West went and checked his hat.
Yeah.
And then I thought it was weird because you never see that. But also it's really weird because Mike Schilt, last year and the previous year, every single day after he played the game, he would talk to Tony La Russa. So, dun, dun, dun.
All right. Well, thank you, Brian. This has been going on. And the reason why it wasn't a problem before is because this manager knew that that manager was doing it. And then that manager knew that that manager was doing it. Managers changing teams, players changing teams. You know, you start to hear, hey, somebody's doing this, somebody's doing it. This has been going on for a long, long time. I mean, just imagine if Mike Fiers doesn't rat out the Astros. This might still be going on. And it's not just the Astros. There are other teams. There'll probably be a story that comes out years from now about another team in this era. But the Astros were really good at it at the time. But you're looking for a competitive edge. What is legal? What is not? What's pushing the envelope? But baseball, you know, hey, steroids. When it first came out, they didn't really punish you. Second of all, we were told it was only 5% of the players using steroids. Remember that? And we realized that it was probably 95% who were, and the 5% who were trying to get it. And this really doesn't come to a head if Bonds, McGuire, and Sosa weren't too good. If Lance Armstrong wasn't too good. Like, you win 7 times, an American winning, you know, the Tour de France, and the French love their cycling, and how he's cheating. We didn't want him to be guilty. Bonds and McGuire, or at least McGuire and Sosa, you didn't want them to be guilty. Remember, they were the Sports Illustrated Sportsman of the Year, on the cover together, great moments, hugging each other. You know, Bonds, not easy to like, but easy to admire, you know, his abilities. But he got too good. If he doesn't, if Barry Bonds hits 53 instead of 73 home runs, nobody's going to go, he's really cheating. Now, you might look at him physically and go, man, he looks bloated, which he was. But you might say, man, he's kind of letting himself go, but he's still dangerous out there. You know, Roger Clemens had a, you know, resuscitation to his career. I mean, the Red Sox gave up on him. He went to Toronto. He didn't find the fountain of youth. They found the fountain of steroids. I mean, that's what happened. If he wasn't, you get too good. It's like cosmetic surgery. How much are you getting? Are you going to get that enhanced? Why don't you do it quietly? A little bit more, and a little less there. It's like when you dye your hair. How about some salt and pepper there? Not just pepper. Guilty as charged.
That was a long time ago.
Yes, it was. And then all of a sudden you go, oh my God, what was I thinking? Yes,
you used to always say something like, you're the last one to know. or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The person who dyes their hair is always the last one to know that everybody knows you're dyeing your hair. You're like, I'm looking good. I'm looking good. Man, I'm killing it. I'm 20 years younger. And then you realize, God, did I look horrible. It's just these guys, these cheaters, were too good at cheating. Yeah, Paulie.
Barry Bonds, after the age of 34, won four consecutive MVPs, and it wasn't close to voting in any year. Mm. He also had seasons where he was walked 232 times in a season. He still was able to hit 45 home runs. They took the bat out of his hands 232 times. That's like 40% of his at-bats were a walk.
He would have hit 100 home runs.
If you look at his home run ratio,
yeah,
it's by far the greatest in MLB history. The second place really, you know, Sosa was there, but it doesn't compare to like Mickey Mantle and those guys. They didn't walk them 232 times.
What helped Sosa a little bit was because McGuire took the spotlight. So Sammy was hitting 66 home runs in a season. I mean, he had a four-year run where he hit over 60 home runs. Yeah, Paul?
Yeah, Sosa had a four-year run where it was 66 homers, 63 homers, 50 homers, and 64 homers. And I always bring this up, my favorite stat. In none of those seasons did he lead the baseball in home runs. He finished second to McGuire or Bonds.
Yeah.
He beat Roger Maris three different times. That's better. He's actually more impressive than Bonds. Bonds hit over 50 once in his career. Sosa hit over 60 three times.
Yeah. Yes, Todd.
So he'd come running out with the American flag and doing that kiss thing, Sosa, and you just look back on how
lovable.
Disingenuous.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, he had the fungo bat that he only used in batting practice that he wanted to put on a home run display. So the guy who hits 60 home runs needs a fungo bat that's got Super Balls in it to hit home runs in batting practice.
All about the fans, Dan.
Yes, it
Sammy
is.
Loved the fans.
Thank you, Sammy. Thank you so much. Christian in Maine joining us. Hey, Christian.
Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Christian.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Great.
All right. I just have a quick limerick, and then I'm going to hold because it's actually a challenge.
Okay.
There once was a fellow from Maine who was a big fan of the great Harry Kane. He called up the show to say, suck it back row, and challenge Fritzy to a shower of shame.
Oh, okay. All right.
I'd like a limerick off. A limerick off where the Danettes can choose the topic, and we can let the listeners judge whose limericks are better, and I'm willing to do a shower of shame.
How about Friday, at this time, 11:45, showdown limerick off between you and Fritzy?
Subject, please.
Okay. You guys got an idea of what topic we want to have? You know what? No,
should we wait?
No, we're going to wait till that morning, Christian. I mean,
that sounds great because I'd rather do it improv. Do it improv.
All right. So we'll talk to you then on Friday. Thank you, Christian. Christian sounded like a broadcaster there a little bit. Thought he was bringing a little too much voice there, but that's okay.
And a little cocky, but that's besides the point.
Are you nervous?
I'm really not. I'm sure he's
talented.
But
we're not judging your limerick. I don't want to be involved in this because then you're going to be like, well, you guys just don't like my, you know.
You know what? I think it's great that the listeners and viewers want to tap into limericks and your poetry and creativity. It's all good.
Thank you, Todd. This will be a shower of shame. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay. You're good with that?
I'm fine.
All right. Yes, McLovin.
There's some social media suggesting that Todd threw his mock headlines today to make the limericks look better in comparison. And when I say social media, I mean I put it out on social media.
Mission accomplished.
Nicely done.
More phone calls coming up, and this day in sports history, what we learned back after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of The Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week. Explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
You know, I love a good police chase, usually in Los Angeles. And yesterday we had one. Now, it wasn't a high-speed chase. It's a bunch of cows. 40 cows escaped from a slaughterhouse, and the police then were in hot pursuit of these cows. I think if you escape a slaughterhouse, then you should be free. I think if you figured out how to get out of a slaughterhouse, then these cows should be free. But the police were trying to corral the cows here. What else did you guys have? What were your puns with this, Todd? Anything else?
That they were milking it to be on the news, the cows.
Okay, okay.
Yeah. Better steer clear of the area. Clear.
Okay. Anything else, Todd?
How dairy they get.
No, I told you don't use how dairy.
There was something about they got to move out of the way yeah. or they're going to get run over by the cars.
All right. So
you didn't like how dairy they
no.
go on the road.
No, I did not. And I told you.
Did say.
Like you always go one too many.
I did it with the mock headlines. I should have. The limerick was good and the mock headlines were a disaster.
Yeah. All right. Shower shame coming up Friday at this time for Fritzy and Christian in Maine.
Topic TBA.
Yes. Yeah. Plan accordingly, folks. Let me see. Pat in Florida. Pat, what's on your mind today?
And second time calling, and love your show.
Thank you. Thank you, Pat.
Dan, what's happened to the point guard position? And you mentioned something yesterday about Ben Simmons. Would we rail on him if he was a 6'1" point guard? Or do we just look at him as he's 6'10", he's a point guard, and he ought to be able to score? Now, I think about when James Harden went to the Nets and Kyrie Irving said, okay, you're the point guard. I know he was already good at assists, but he became great with assists. And I'm a Laker fan, and after each game, I would look at the assist stat line, and Schroeder would have 3 or 4 assists every game. And Talen Horton-Tucker, who had like 12 minutes, would have 9 assists or whatever. So can you make a point guard when you draft someone or when you have a player? You need a floor general.
And thank you, Pat. LeBron is a point guard. He's not built like a point guard. And plus, I don't care how tall Ben Simmons is. I just care the style of his play. When you don't want to shoot, in 4 of the 7 games, he didn't attempt a field goal in the fourth quarter against the Hawks. Rajon Rondo couldn't shoot. Not a very good shooter now, but he's not afraid to shoot. If Ben Simmons is 6'1 or he's 7'1, you can't be afraid to shoot. Now, in a previous generation, could you be a point guard who couldn't shoot well? I guess, but I'm trying to think. Jason Kidd became a better shooter. Magic became a better shooter. Steve Nash was a great shooter. Stockton was a very good shooter. Bob Cousy, that was a different era. He probably shot low 40s from the floor. But nowadays, like Steph Curry, is he a point guard? I call him a points guard. Like Draymond Green's their point guard. He's the one who has the most. Is the guy who has the most assists, is that your point guard? Like the Joker, to me, feels like the point center. He runs the offense. It's like Bill Walton used to do that with the Portland Trailblazers. Arvydas Sabonis did that. Like you just funnel everything through your big man and you have a great passing big man. Yeah, Paul.
If you go back to a guy like Isaiah Thomas, he led the league in assists a couple times, but he felt like a guy who could score 25 points a night but chose not to based off his role. Because he had games where he had 50 points.
Yes.
But his best season, I think he averaged 23 points per game. He was usually around 18, 19.
John in Atlanta. Hi, John. What's on your mind today?
Happy Wednesday, DP.
Thank you, John.
5 seats left on the Atlanta Hawk bandwagon for you and the Danettes. If you'd like to join us down here, that'd be lovely. Got a question for you.
Uh-huh.
When you were at SportsCenter, and even now, and going back to your conversation about steroids,
yeah.
When you suspected a player to be on it, sorry, that's my 2-year-old in the background.
Sorry.
When you suspected a player to be on it, when you were covering a story, how did you refrain from calling a spade a spade? How did you refrain from calling him out? Was it, or did you want to? You just suspected and just let it go, or
well, I wasn't a reporter, John. I was the guy who was doing the highlights. And thanks for the phone call, but my job was to present highlights. If I was covering the sport of baseball, it gets trickier because what is your evidence? And do you have a second sort? If you're going to accuse somebody, I can look at Brady Anderson and go, hit 50. Or Luis Gonzalez, who hit, 55? And you just go, I don't know. But that's not enough. I remember people accused Todd Helton. So you just had to be careful with that. I remember Jason Giambi was joking one time. We were going to have him on. He was with the Oakland A's. And he said something about cycling on or cycling off. And I didn't really take note of it, but he was talking about steroids. And then when I realized that Jason Giambi was using steroids, and he had been a friend, I really liked Jason Giambi. I mean, that was tough. But I didn't have the evidence that I could have come forward and said, hey, you know what I'm hearing? Because even though you looked, we wanted to believe that McGuire and Sosa were real. We did. We wanted to believe that Lance Armstrong was real. Right? Like, we want to believe what we're seeing is real in sports. And I fell prey to that, guilty as charged. And then I vowed after that I would not go in blindly and go, just take it for, surface value here. Don't be afraid to question. Now, it's difficult sometimes because you don't want to be negative. You don't want to go, yeah, but. But in the back of my mind, I always remember Lance and McGuire and Sosa. And just say, there's nothing wrong with at least raising a question or being inquisitive about it. And I don't like finding these things out. But there's part of this is my job, whether I like it or not, or it's somebody I like and they're doing something. I don't take any great pleasure in Alex Rodriguez testing positive. I don't like him. He didn't like me. But, if he's clean and he's doing all these great things, great. Rafael Palmeiro. I like Rafi. But if you're cheating, all right, then you got to face the music. Andy Pettit. Andy Pettit's a nice man. But there's nothing personal about this. Where I don't go, man, I'm trying to get out and sabotage that guy. Yeah, Todd.
If you get too cynical, then it destroys your joy of sports because then you're thinking everyone's cheating or there's nothing legitimate about what you're watching. So you got to, I don't know where the fine line is between the two, but you still don't want to get too negative where you think everything you see is just can't be
possible. Well, I don't want to be like the football fan who thinks every game is fixed. Like, I don't want to get there. We can have questions about it, but not everything's a conspiracy theory. Just not.
Or is it?
Ooh. Let's go around the room what we learned on the program. Todd, I'll start with you.
Tim Legler's first NBA points were with the Phoenix Suns, a left-wing jumper, an assist, and a wink from Kevin Johnson. That's cool.
Yes. McLovin.
Mark Sanchez, still pro Pete Carroll.
Seton O'Connor.
Yeah, Mark Sanchez likes Pete Carroll.
Yeah, he does. Paulie?
Scherzer had a huge night.
By the way, on this date, 1963, Jimmy Pearsall hit a home run, his 100th career home run. He ran around the bases backwards. I don't know if they gave him the home run if you run around the bases backwards. What we learned, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz vans. They go far beyond from their customization options, cutting-edge tech, five-star sales service, financial support crew. Go that extra mile, taking the all-important first step into an authorized dealership today. Thanks for the phone calls, emails, tweets, the all-around support we get on this program. For Seton, Paulie, Fritz, and McLovin, yours truly, in the Dan Patrick Show. Have a great Wednesday, everybody. One more item. We close out the show. ZipRecruiter, looking for a job, is a job. But when you have people on the other side who know what that feeling is like, then it makes it a little bit easier, a little bit more tolerable. You have a little bit more confidence. In fact, you should have a lot more confidence with ZipRecruiter. It doesn't have to be this way. ZipRecruiter gets it. They actually figured out a way to make the job process better. You sign up on ZipRecruiter.com. You create a free profile. Then you get matched with great jobs and a lot more because ZipRecruiter proactively pitches your profile to employers whose jobs match your experience. And unlike other job sites, if an actual person from the company really likes what they see, they can personally invite you to apply to their job. Candidates who are invited to apply on ZipRecruiter are nearly three times as likely to get hired. Plus, if you like the job, you can apply with just one click. It's that easy. The number one rated job site in the United States. ZipRecruiter.com. Sign up today absolutely free. Put ZipRecruiter to work for you. ZipRecruiter.com.